listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Cleveland Browns training camp is coming July 26th through August 15th. Register now at clevelandbrowns.com to reserve your spot at training camp. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to register today. Nathan Zagura, Michael Regeye, going to the Ohio Business Machines hotline to bring on a good friend of the show, one of our favorites, former NFL agent Joel Corey, who now is the NFL contract and salary cap writer for the National Football Post and CBSSports.com. Joel, also a fellow Emory alum. What's going on, bro?
Hey, how you doing today?
We are doing very well. Thanks for joining us here today. And one of the things that we were talking about on today's show, given that it is Ray Farmer's birthday, which of the young guys out there who are impending free agents, whether it be a Jordan Cameron, Jabal Sheard, Brian Hoyer, Buster Skrine, would you like to see Farmer be able to get locked up before the season? But as you know, that is a lot easier said than done. What are the difficulties in doing extensions with those guys? And we'll start with the big story, which was the Hoyer talks yesterday. Can that deal get done now?
I don't think Hoyer gets done at all. It's almost next to impossible to get done just because Hoyer has a lot more to gain than lose by waiting. I think that's going to be the hardest obstacle, that he views himself as a starting quarterback. The team drafted Johnny Manziel to eventually be the starting quarterback. It has to be another Derek Anderson, Brady Quinn situation for it to work out for him long-term in Cleveland.
And Joel, when you look at guys, Jordan Cameron, Jabal Sheard, these are two of the guys that I think everybody would agree would be the priority guys to try to lock up. Is it possible in your mind to get either of those deals done as we go forward in advance of this season like they were able to get Joe Hayden done?
I think it may be another case of Alex Mack for both of these guys where you can't get anything done. With Jordan Cameron, he's not going to want to do anything right now. He's going to wait and see how this whole Jimmy Graham situation shakes out, whether he's valued as a receiver or a tight end. If he's got the tight end tag, he still could set a new standard for tight end salaries. And then there's also Julius Thomas that's out there that John Elway wants to extend before the start of training camp. That could become another important data point in everything. With Sheard, it's kind of interesting that Mike Pettine wants to play him in the Mario Williams role.
Right.
If that's the case, then he could be setting himself up for a monster year.
Right.
And probably anything that the Browns are going to offer him now wouldn't reflect what he could get if he goes out and has the type of year that he could have as the Mario Williams type guy.
Joel Corey joining us. You could check him out. Does a terrific job, and we certainly invite you to do that. Salary cap writer, NFL contract guru for CBSSports.com. The National Football Post also joining us on our Ohio Business Machines hotline. All right, Joel, as the former regime went out, they felt here in Cleveland with the Browns, they felt that they had this situation in great stead for Ray Farmer. As Ray Farmer approached free agency, and it's Ray's birthday today, by the way, Joel, you might want to wish him a happy if you have a chance to talk to him. But as he got it right after it and got Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner, and Andrew Hawkins, give us your assessment of Farmer in free agency as he went after it in his initial year as a GM in the NFL, and how did he leave himself going forward?
Oh, the Browns have a ton of cap room. They still have $24 million of cap room this year. Anything they don't use can be carried over to next year, so they're going to be in great cap shape again. I don't know about the whole transition Alex Mack situation. Should have just stuck a franchise tag on him. That would have prevented someone else from setting the market on a deal, or they had to match it with the Jacksonville offer sheet. Maybe that was by design, so they let the market dictate what he was supposed to get. But I thought that was the only real mistake they made. They went out and got Ben Tate at a good value for someone who could have 1,000-yard potential as a running back. Mm-hmm. He's very affordable. The biggest thing they haven't done is really address receiver in a meaningful way with Josh Gordon's suspension looming.
Right, and that is a key point. They have brought in some veterans, but nobody, you know, Miles Austin, what version of Miles Austin are you going to get? And to that end, let me ask you two things, because there are two rulings that are going to be handed down that will affect the Browns. The first one you talked about was the Jimmy Graham ruling. Do you have a sense of which way that's going to go in your mind, or how you think it should go?
I have no clue, because I thought 2 years ago that Drew Brees would lose his franchise tag grievance, where they decided that the first tag he had in San Diego counted towards the New Orleans franchise tag count. So I don't know which way this thing is going to go. Either way, Jimmy Graham, if he signs a long-term deal, should be the highest paid tight end. It's just a question of whether he's going to be paid more like a receiver or just advance the ball a little bit in terms of tight end compensation.
And the other ruling that's going to be handed down is obviously the one that affects the Browns the most at wide receiver with Josh Gordon. What do you make, and if you were Josh Gordon's agent, what would you be making of the fact that it is taking so long for anything to be handed down definitively by the National Football League on this?
Well, the longer it takes, I would think that that could be a good sign for Josh Gordon, because if it was cut and dry, then there'd already be a decision out there. I think one thing that needs to happen, and it should happen in the next couple of years, that the NFL is going to have to relax its standards for marijuana in terms of its drug testing, given how the perception of marijuana is changing in this country. And you have two states which have legalized it, and there'll probably be many more to follow at some point in time.
Joel Corey joining us right here on Ohio Business Machines Hotline on Cleveland Brown Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. All right, Joel, when you look at the composition of what's going on at the quarterback position here, you mentioned Brian Hoyer, and Nathan and I share your feelings with regard to getting him done. Do you believe that Hoyer is going to be able to shed the tag this year? And I would say that some have put on him as he's a career backup that can come in and, you know, keep you afloat, win you a football game or two if necessary, but nothing more than that. How do you see Hoyer and his approach to this job with Johnny Manziel in mind?
Publicly, he's saying all the right things and is doing all the right things. It's just a matter of time before Johnny Manziel becomes a starting quarterback, unless Hoyer plays lights out. You draft Manziel in the first round for a reason. Hoyer's probably going to end up using this year to showcase himself around the league so that he can be considered one of these guys that can maybe start for someone or someone that can fill in for several games if necessary. Maybe it turns out that he increases his value to the Browns while he's actually playing. But that market right now is the $4 to $5 million per year range.
Right.
Chad Henne, Matt Castle, and then these guys all have upside, which takes a 2-year contract from anywhere to $13 million to $15 million over the 2 years, depending upon how much they play and the team's success. So that's why I think it's going to be a tough deal to do.
Joel, I'm not a guy that hate making comparisons, but I'm kind of going to right here because, again, I mentioned he's a backup that. But could he possibly, do you feel he's got the wherewithal, given his beginnings with Tom Brady and all gained there in the New England quarterbacking room, do you think he's got the wherewithal to maybe get somewhere close to duplicating Kurt Warner and Rich Gannon, two quarterbacks that caddied until they got close to 30 years of age, and then they got their opportunity and it came together? Is that a possibility somewhere along those lines, meaning a playoff quarterback to take a team at least to the playoffs for Hoyer?
Those are very high standards. I don't think we're ever going to see a Kurt Warner situation again, a guy that toils in the Arena League for years, literally comes out of nowhere. That's basically the football's version of the natural.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich Gannon ended up being league MVP. So those are pretty high standards. Maybe Brian Hoyer can become a serviceable quarterback. Even if he can't, he's severely underpaid right now. His salary is $1.25 million. You got a guy like Drew Stanton, hadn't thrown a pass since 2010, that signed a $8.2 million 3-year deal.
Right.
Chase Daniel had thrown 9 passes before signing $10 million for 3 years in Kansas City. So Hoyer's kind of the driver's seat. Unless he falls on his face tremendously, he's probably, at a minimum, looking at $3 million a year next year to be a backup. either here or someplace else. So it's going to take a strong offer, and maybe there'd have to be a way for the contract to void to make it worth his while to do something sooner rather than later.
Joel, do you think the fact that the talk of the negotiations with Hoyer for an extension coming out yesterday as it did was in some ways a message to Johnny Manziel? As we know, the Browns have talked to him about his antics, and then, of course, a picture shows up with him and Floyd Mayweather and Justin Bieber last night that people are now talking about, which, I mean, people need to relax a little bit. But number one, I guess, do you think that that was some type of a message being sent as well via the contract negotiations becoming public between Hoyer and the Browns? Number two, as an agent, what would you be saying to Johnny Manziel right now?
I think it's a little more than a coincidence. I think there's something to it. One thing Johnny Manziel needs to recognize, that you can't be Joe Namath in the age of social media. He's not doing anything wrong, per se. He hasn't broken any laws. He's not getting arrested. But when ownership kind of tells you to tone it down, and this will give an example of just how owners are. Before, when Cam Newton was drafted, their owner told him that they didn't want him to have any tattoos.
Right.
Tattoos are accepted generally in this country. 70-year-old men and women have tattoos.
Sure.
So if that's the mindset of management, then maybe Johnny Manziel needs to heed their warnings a little bit. If I'm his agent, I tell him, look, there's a time and place for everything. You've got to use a little better judgment in terms of some of the things you put out there. Particularly, his friends aren't doing him any favors.
None.
They're putting pictures of him out there in not the most flattering situations. But that's the younger generation of today. They seem to broadcast everything about their lives and don't really know what the word discretion means.
Would you, just as a person sitting back and observing this, as you are, as we all are really, do you think that right now this in any way, shape, or form is impacting his ability to be ready and win the job by day one? Or do you think it is a case of, you know, social media blowing things out of proportion?
Probably social media blowing things out of proportion, because we don't know what Johnny Manziel does when he's not out having a good time, the 24 hours in a day. For all we know, he's studying diligently and then blows off some steam, and we just get the snapshot of him blowing off steam. So it's really hard to say. But I will say this. If he does play and doesn't play well, all the social media stuff will create a backlash, and people are going to go, see, if you were studying your playbook or more dedicated to the game, fair or not, that's going to be the criticism if he doesn't play well.
Joel Corey joining
it
us. Yeah, it will be. I think, Joel, I've said here in the show, I don't think there's any correlation between the two. I understand, as you just stated, and how it will be perceived, but if Johnny Manziel doesn't acclimate quickly to the National Football League, here's a kid, as we know, that came out of a limited offensive system where it was a lot of creating and ad-libbing. I think that to begin with, and are your thoughts, too, that the acclimation period is going to be one that's going to be rather stringent for him, and it may not come together very quickly because of the style he played at Texas A&M in the Big 12, or excuse me, SEC?
Well, I'll put it this way. Even the most diligent student we've seen, Peyton Manning, I think he threw like 25 interceptions as a rookie.
Yeah.
And he stayed all 4 years at Tennessee. So if he's going to struggle like that as a rookie, then I wouldn't expect Johnny Manziel to come out and look like Johnny Football at Texas A&M in his first year. That's a steep learning curve generally. Maybe they're going to put limitations on the offense like the Redskins did with RG3, which is something that Shanahan has experience doing, because he's had a quarterback that didn't necessarily come from a pro-style system, found a way to limit his weaknesses and make him successful as a rookie. Maybe that's what happens here. But I'm not anticipating him coming out and setting rookie records for passing yards and touchdowns this year.
They're going to run the football here,
right.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Joel, appreciate the time as always. Have a very happy 4th, and thanks for all the great insights. And folks, you can follow him on Twitter @Corey Joel, CORRYJOEL. Thanks so much, man.
Oh, you have a happy 4th as well, and thanks for having me on.
Appreciate All right, go Emory. Here we go. Still undefeated.
Another Emory guy.
That's right. You got to like the Emory alums. That? You got to like that. That's right. We're doing
Zagura
what we can.
Zagura and Corey.
Zagura and Corey.
That's pretty
representing
sweet.
The Eagles. Here
the
we
Emory
go.
The Eagles.
That's right. All right, we'll be wrapping up our first hour here in just a second. You heard from Joel Corey about these possible contract extension talks. What do you think about it? Who would you extend to give as a present to Ray Farmer? 216-578-0850. Who'd you take a selfie with? Johnny Manziel selfies blowing up Twitter. Who would your selfie be with? Two celebrities of your choice. Again, 216-578-0850. Coming up still in hour number two, we're going to go around the National Football League. We are going to go on the Blitz. We're going to go to Washington, and we're also going to go to Houston with Tanya Ganguly. And we're also going to do a little, of course, if we need, we're going to play a little after further review. It is Tuesday, folks. World Cup Day, USA, 4 p.m., USA against Belgium. Man, let's go USA. I believe that we will win it. More to come here on ESPN 850 right after this.